was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their backs confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night falls in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Welcome back, Resurrect Republic Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. This is Tom Lacovara-Stewart. I'm on with Lori, Texas 101. We had David Pruitt there for a while. I don't know if he's still around. I want you to call in if you want. Feel free to do so if you want to make comment, ask questions. I'm going to be sharing with you coming shortly, a clip by Rachel Maddow. I'm sorry, Maddow, of which she discusses the Bundys. She discusses sovereignty. Now, keep in mind, the individual that I'm referring to is she's a communist. She's a Marxist, and she is a specialist of disinformation. You have to understand this. Now, Maddow, she works for the establishment. I'm going to pause this at times and make comment. I want you to understand that sovereign citizens is that this is not a real, it's not a thing, okay? Some people that get some of this information all of a sudden think that the laws in their don't apply to them, and look, to a point they may be correct, however not in their execution and the way they go about doing it. They're crash test dummies, and some of them are, well, they are what they are. To do what we're talking about doing, you have to do so properly, to govern yourself accordingly. To keep the republic, as it were, requires a certain knowledge base. It's not for everyone, unfortunately. It's not that simple. It requires diligence. It requires, and you don't have to be the smartest or the sharpest tack in the drawer to be able to do this. But it requires a certain level of diligence. It's not information that we can just say, here you go, free yourself. It doesn't work that way. It didn't work that way with Jesus and his disciples when they spread the truth. It doesn't work this way with this. You have to understand what you're doing. Now, I'm going to share with you this little Marxist nitwit and her disinformation campaign. Lori, I want you to listen to this as we go. Chris in Las Vegas is here with us. Chris, I'm going to be stopping this next clip a couple times. We'll all be making comment on it, and I want your input as well. So roll Rachel Maddow.
Okay, this is a man named William Potter Gale, man on the left there. He was a self-styled preacher who held a very long grudge, by which I mean he held a grudge that started half a century before he was born. William Potter Gale's beef with the universe began in the late 1860s, right after the Civil War. In the years after the Civil War, the southern states were still far from folded back into the Union. They were still under the control of federal troops. The southern states were legally part of the Union again, but only because they had lost the war. And so they were also kind of occupied territories, and they hated it. And after years of the Reconstruction era of the southern state capitals being occupied by federal troops after the Civil War, white southern lawmakers used a series of political machinations that would make a senator blush to wrangle through Congress at the time a law to basically get those federal troops, those hated Yankee Union troops, out of the South. Quote, from and after the passage of this act, it shall not be lawful
okay,
to employ
pause that
any
for
part
a second.
Of the...
Just for a second. Now, I want you to keep in mind here, like the Bolshevik army did to Germany. She is just breezing past the fact that there were churches with women and children locked inside that were burnt down by Union troops and those inside murdered. There were women and children raped in front of their husbands as they watched. The South was raped after this conflict was concluded. So I want you to have a little bit of a taste in your mouth for what she's glossing over. Go ahead and roll that clip.
The South. Quote, from and after the passage of this act, it shall not be lawful to employ any part of the Army of the United States as a posse comitatus. That last part is Latin. Posse comitatus means power of the county. And throughout history, going back to England, it refers to the county government, specifically the county sheriff, as the supreme law of the land. Our Posse Comitatus Act in 1878.
Stop. The supreme law of the land is the Constitution, not the sheriff. This is part of her disinformation campaign. The supreme law of the land is the Constitution. The role of the county sheriff as the highest law enforcement officer in said county is a check and balance in a republic form of government, which is the entire point of a republic form of government, in which it empowers its highest law enforcement official closest to the people that they can have control over him or her nowadays, him or her, to be able to have accountability. And the sheriff is to act as interposer, which means the sheriff being closest to the people so that a bureaucracy cannot raise up and become so overbearing and powerful and tyrannical that the sheriff enforces the constitutional restrictions upon government. That is the point of a republic form of government. Go ahead and roll.
Thomas, said, can I interrupt?
Federal forces.
Now, hang on. Lori, you wanted to make a comment.
Sorry about that. That's not even what a posse comitatus is.
No, I know that. I was going to get to that, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. It is actually anyone over the age of 15 who a sheriff calls for their duty to raise a hue and cry whenever a serious crime occurs in their county.
Yes.
That is not the sheriff. It is
the people.
It is the people. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So it doesn't have anything really to do with the sheriff, though he is the one that is kind of the balance and the one, the keeper of the law of the land.
Yes. Yeah, I couldn't have said that any better. I'm glad that you saw. I was going to do that in a minute or two, but you perfectly illustrated my point there.
Sorry.
Mad cow in check. I love it. No, thank you. All right, go ahead and roll.
Posse Comitatus Act in 1878 said federal forces could no longer essentially supplant local authorities in the South.
Yeah,
they could no longer supplant local authorities in handling law enforcement and the protection of the population. And that act came out of a very specific time for a very specific purpose. That act said Union troops, get out of the South. Our counties are going to take it from here.
Oh, pause. Pause. Now, while this was a rape, that occurred upon the South after the war, just like Germany after that war and all of, you know, the Bolsheviks, same thing. Because, you know, tomorrow, tune in tomorrow, because you're going to hear about the actual Marxist communist and that occupied the Union government, the Union Army, as well as the letters back and forth between Abraham Lincoln and Karl Marx. That's going to be a subject for tomorrow night. But this is important because it was not the Southern states that passed this. This was passed by Congress, a lawful Congress in Washington, D.C., not in the South. Why? Because many of these people saw what the Union Army became when it was infected with these tyrants that rode roughshod over the countryside and pillaged and raped and stole and murdered. This is not something that they teach you in history class, but it is a fact. And the entirety of the republics in Washington, D.C. said, you know what? That's really probably not a real great idea that we let that happen again. So you see how Maddow is framing this as the South said that they would do this for the South, 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 KKK, white supremacist, white Christian identity. And she's fusing one man who many years later was part of a movement that embraced and incorporated some of these tactics, much like the KKK is controlled opposition. What did Lenin say? Stalin say about how you defeat your enemy? You control them. You control it. You create the opposition. Like the KKK was created to embrace state rights, to discredit state rights by repulsing people away from the truth. You see? It's that simple. It's subversion. Okay, roll.
Roughly a dozen years after the end of the Civil War, the federal government did pull the troops back from the southern states, and local white officials in the South were thereby cleared to reassert their authority over their own communities. And we know exactly what they decided to do with it, right? The end of the Reconstruction era led to Jim Crow segregation and the lynchings and the cross burnings and the organized terror campaigns KKK. Against black Americans that were used to enforce the Jim Crow rules.
Okay, years stop. After stop. Just like the federal government did with marijuana when they released films like Reefer Madness and the federal government, Northern Union federal government, made it these films that made you think that black people would smoke the weed and they would come in and rape you and do all of these things. And this is why weed needed to be illegalized. Not the fact that it cured cancer and it cured diseases and the pharmaceutical industry was rising and all of that. No, it had nothing to do with it. Again, here again, you see the influence of white supremacy that was a Freemasonic creation. It was created by the KKK, was created by General Albert Pike and company. These were folks that could see into the future decades and decades, 100, 200 years into the future. They knew that by creating this opposition and tormenting and traumatizing, and I would use the word terrorizing the people, okay, by making them believe that black people would rape them, pillage them, kill them, murder them, and everything else, created the racial divide themselves. This racial divide and fear for the black people was created by these secret societies who sought to capitalize and gain off of that fear, no different than they're doing with Islam today. Now, don't get me wrong. Sharia is a danger and a threat to this nation like we've never seen. But why? Again, why is it a threat? Because of shock and awe, because of an attack of a nation that had nothing to do with 9/11. Thus, what did we do? We stirred the pot and instigated a situation and created a holy war where there was not one against us. Now we have to fight it, but who is it started by? The very same Luciferian established, the Thousand Points of Light, the George H.W. Bush, and all of the rest, and Barack Obama and the rest of them that are still doing it to this day, and they're seeking to do it in Syria too. And we stopped them there, and now they're going covert. That's what Benghazi was about. Do you see that this is the Hegelian dialectics that have been used since the days of Rome? And what I'm trying to show you, what I need you to tell your friends, your family, your relatives, that these things, these manifestations of racial wars and of white supremacy and how they mired and joined the KKK and white supremacy or the Knights of the Golden Circle and these Freemasonic organizations that created these entities to terrorize domestic terrorists, they are to terrorize the people into being afraid of black people so that they would react to them, so that they could then turn around and justify their unreasonable fears to call them all what Marxist created another term, the Trotsky created term of racist, so that they could be smeared, they could be demonized, they could be the high moral ground, which is a false moral ground, could be gained by these critters. Go ahead and roll.
The years after Reconstruction were so difficult for our country that a lot of people still argue that the Civil War hadn't really ended in the South.
No kidding.
And it went on that way decade after decade, out of the 19th century and into
the
20th
century.
No
peace treaty yet.
In 1957, President Eisenhower sent federal troops back into the American South. He sent them so they could stand guard over the integration of Little Rock Central High School in Arkansas. He sent soldiers to make that happen. The U.S. Supreme Court had...
Pause. Now, again, do you know what else he did? Check this out. Remember those soldiers after the war that required their money? It's called the Bonus March. I want you to think about this. Here's a moral crusade that they did in Arkansas, right? Okay. And it was. Everybody needs to be together. They need to learn to get along. But at the same time, this army was used to be raised against the World War I veterans who wanted their pay because they were destitute. They had given everything, their lives, their limbs, their health. They were veterans that fought when they were asked to fight, and they wanted their bonus, the Bonus Army March. Everyone, go and Google it. Bonus Army March, where federal troops were raised to not only chase them back to the states from which they came, but they burned down the last of their possessions in Lafayette Park, where I gave a speech across from the White House and told Obama to kiss my rosy red American keister. In that park, those tents of those men who fought when they were asked to fight were chased with tanks and with soldiers with flamethrowers who destroyed the last of their possessions. Keep that in mind when you're thinking posse comitatus. Go ahead and roll.
In Arkansas, he sent soldiers to make that happen. The U.S. Supreme Court had made integration the law of the land, but it took federal troops to make it the law of Arkansas. By that time, old William Potter Gale, he was already preaching anti-federal government, white supremacist claptrap, which he put under the banner of the Christian Identity Movement.
Here we go again.
But that decision by President Eisenhower to send in those troops to Arkansas in 1957, that so enraged William Potter Gale that he decided that he was going to start his own new branch of that movement, and he was going to give it a new name.
And what did he call it?
Kevin Carey wrote a terrific account of this a while back in the Washington Monthly. William Potter Gale called his new movement Posse Comitatus. He named it after that 1878.
Again, here you have a man who comes in the name of Christianity and in the name of no standing army to be used against the people. When it was, they were raped, they were burned, they were killed, their possessions destroyed, even the veterans, including the people after the Civil War, raped, pillaged, churches burnt down, everything else. This is I'm showing you the manifestation of the establishment, and this is how they do it. This is how they do it. They take this one obscure individual, and they use him as the focal point of an entire nation, of everyone who supports sovereignty, of everyone who supports states' rights, states being independent, free, and sovereign nations, and they used this one person who rose up and was apparently what their definition term of a racist is, keep in mind, a Trotsky-created term, a communist-created term. They are masters of the Hegelian dialectic. This is what the mainstream media will not tell you. This is what they will not teach you. They will not teach you how you are manipulated, how you are controlled, and how you are brainwashed to be in fear of the very things that are were provided to keep you free. Go ahead and roll.
William Potter Gale called his new movement Posse Comitatus. He named it after that 1878 law that had forced Union troops out of the Reconstruction South. As Mr. Gale explained his idea, quote, county sheriffs were the supreme legal law enforcement officers in the land, and
that
county residents had the right to form a posse to enforce the Constitution however they, as sovereign citizens, chose to interpret it. Public officials who interfered, said Gale, should be hung by the neck at noon. So individuals are sovereign. Only the county sheriff is in charge. The federal government has no authority in this guy's white supremacist world. And yes, his operating theory sounds crazy and fringe, and it was crazy and fringe. But if that was your particular flavor of extremism in, say, the early 1970s, and you didn't think the anti-civil rights, anti-fluoride John Birch Society was extreme enough for you, then you could join William Potter Gale and his radical Posse Comitatus. All through the 1970s, Mr. Gale worked the Farm Belt states specifically, planning chapters and clusters.
Pause for a second. It was only Gale. He was the only one to Maddow that was symbolic of this movement. It had nothing to do with the fact that people wanted to be free. It had nothing to do with the fact that people did not want soldiers to come in and burn their churches down with them inside of them still alive. It didn't have anything to do with the fact that they didn't want their 12, 13, 14-year-old daughters thrown to the ground, their dresses hiked up, and to be raped. That had nothing to do with it. Not to her. It had to do with this one obscure individual who she's assigning with this entire movement.
In the
60s. This is how the communists work. Go ahead. Go ahead, Lori. Comment. Go ahead.
We're going from the Civil War to the 60s.
She's making
a huge jump. And once again, she's showing a prime example how so many things are romanticized or put up on a pedestal, and then they twist the words because people want to be part of the club. And this is a prime example of just idiots who want to be smart. And don't have it. I was there one day. I'm not trying to be harsh to anyone. I was one of them once.
So was I at one point. I was too, I have to admit. Not happy about it. All right, let's get back to Mad Cow. Roll.
Mr. Gale worked the Farm Belt states specifically, planning chapters and clusters in places like Kansas and Texas. His Texas chapter was founded by this guy, who's named Gordon Call. Before the Posse Comitatus thing ever got going, really, Gordon Call had already announced that he would no longer pay income taxes because he said he was sovereign as a man. He said the government was Satan. And for a long time, it was one thing to be that one lone guy in Texas with that crazy idea, but along comes this good organizer guy with the Posse Comitatus idea, and all of a sudden, he's a leading member of a movement. This, you know, the sheriff is the only law. Way out there, racist Christian identity movement called the Posse Comitatus.
Pause. Did you hear what she just said? She's saying that the sheriff was the only law enforcement, was the law, the supreme law of the land. She completely takes the truth, cuts it in half, and throws in her own little amalgamations. She then turns around and makes it about racist, 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 racist. Let me tell you something. One of the black Confederates, when I was in Alabama, went to a rally. He was run off of the road and killed. Do you know who he was killed by? A bunch of young black males. That's who he was killed by. Why was he a black Confederate, you might want to ask? Well, you might want to ask that because he was actually a historian. We're going to be doing a show on him next week. And the reason that he was a black Confederate is because what? He researched, he learned, and he knew the truth. The truth of the fact that there have been among us this whole time individuals like Mad Cow that will take the truth and pervert it. They will create organizations in the name of what's good, and these organizations will be so repulsive and repugnant that it will turn people away from the truth. Go ahead and roll.
Gordon Call, the guy from Texas, he ended up serving time in prison for not paying his taxes because he didn't believe he had to. Then he got out on parole, and he violated his parole. And once he violated his parole, federal marshals came to collect him, and it went horribly wrong.
Police in the Northern Plains in Canada tonight are hunting for at least two gunmen wanted for killing two U.S. Marshals in a blazing shootout last night. It happened in Medina, North Dakota, and as Roger O'Neill reports, the men who got away are members of Posse Comitatus, a militant anti-tax group.
Police were trying to arrest 53-year-old Gordon Call of Midland, Texas, for violating probation and an income tax evasion conviction. Call is described as a fanatical opponent of taxes. He was formerly a farmer in North Dakota and was attending an anti-tax meeting of farmers at this clinic in Medina. Call, a member of the radical anti-tax group Posse Comitatus, is known to be armed and dangerous. Authorities say in the past, Call has said he would not be taken alive.
Gordon Call ended up escaping to Arkansas, and he was killed in a shootout in Arkansas. That was 1983. A little less than a decade later, in 1992, it was a white supremacist in Ruby Ridge, Idaho. He'd sold some sawed-off shotguns to somebody who turned out to be an undercover ATF agent.
Pause. He did not sell anything to the undercover ATF agent. The ATF agent pestered him three or four, maybe five times, and tried talking him into using a hacksaw to cutting off one of the agent's shotguns, and paid him $400 or $500. One. So she's lying to the entire nation. In my opinion, when a journalist or a purported journalist does so, they should be removed from the air and never allowed on the air again. When you lie that blatantly, it should be immediately stopped. But we all know that now they've legalized the press lying to us. That's one. Two. Randy Weaver was not a member of the Aryan Nations. He made this very clear. He was not on their membership roll. He was not a member. He lived in the area where they had a retreat, a compound. And he did attend a few picnics. That was his connection to the Aryan Nations. He ate hot dogs and hamburgers. That's it, folks. We'll be back after a few words from our sponsors, Resurrect Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast on RBN.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. At www.bugoutpanama.net.
Angioprim can unclog blocked arteries and improve blood flow in all parts of your body. Angioprim is oral chelation. Easy, simple, liquid oral chelation. You take it with juice before breakfast and forget about it. Angioprim works fast, unlike old-fashioned chelation that takes hours. Just log on to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim, A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M, angioprim.com. Angioprim users say they have more energy, more strength, more endurance. Increased circulation and blood flow will make all your body parts work better. Log on to angioprim.com to get more information on how you can get started and start feeling better, having fun, and doing more again. Lots more. Talk to a trained Angioprim consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221. Or log on for complete information. Angioprim.com. That's angioprim.com. Find out how Angioprim can work for you. Get the facts about Angioprim at angioprim.com.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Republic Truth Radio broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I am joined with Chris in Las Vegas, and Lori, Texas 101, my Native American sweetheart and Scottish, Native American and Scottish sweetheart, who has so eloquently shared with us some pretty good wisdom tonight. I thank her with all of my heart for that. Reluctant as she is to jump on the radio, she only does so when I insist. And insist I do, because the knowledge that she holds is very important for all of us. As well, she works behind the scenes with us on this effort. Folks, we need you to go to resurrectorepublic.com and click on that PayPal. We need your support. Now, I've asked, and donations have come very slow. We're working very hard to try and expose the agendas that are going on behind the scenes here. We need your support. Without your support, we're dead in the water. I need your donations tonight. Tonight, I need your donations. I don't get like that. We have bills that must be paid for this show, for this broadcast. And we come here 2 hours every night diligently and provide to you information. We've had Shauna Cox. We've had Laz on. We've had a lot of the WikiLeaks stuff backed up. We've been saying for 2 years before WikiLeaks ever released the stuff. I mean, I don't know what we have to do. We're working real hard here. I need you to go to resurrectorepublic.com or rtrtruthmedia.com and click on that PayPal. The PayPal, if you go to paypal.com, it's Tom Lacovara, T-O-M-L-A-C-O-V as in Victor, A-R-A, at gmail.com. Or you can call RBN line 1 and talk to Lori directly, and she will take your information if you want to make a donation that way and you don't feel comfortable with PayPal. That being said, I need your donations tonight. We have bills that are due right now. I cannot continue to reach into my pocket as I work for free for friends who are finding themselves in situations where they can't afford labor. I'm here helping a Christian friend who was completely screwed over. And I'm doing all that I can. I give and I give. I need your help. I can't make it any more clear to you. This network has given us the room. You guys need to make the way. Okay, that being said, we're going to get back to Miss Mad Cow. Chris in Las Vegas, are you still with us?
I am, surprisingly.
Would you like to comment on any of Mad Cow's madness?
Well, whenever you're dealing with somebody who's a professional untruth teller, as the Mad Cow is, pardon me for a second, one has to take what she says with a great deal of trepidation and suspicion, because she is quite excellent at the art word craft of spinning tales that are complete falsities, although she is a great actress because she seems very genuine, truthful, and honest, although she's an abject liar.
You know, I call her Rachel Mad Cow in, out of respect and love for Mike Vanderbilt, who is, God rest his soul, he passed away. He was at the Bundy Ranch. I videotaped him doing a I actually filmed him for Oath Keepers. I filmed him doing a speech in which he had a skull and a story about Harry Reid and the skull being used as a soap dish. It was rather interesting.
Mr. Cleanface always has interesting stories about him. Further, yeah. Here's a fellow that you have got to meet up with, because you are kindred spirits, brothers from another mother, and that is Michael Gaddy, G-A-D-D-Y, the RebelMadman.com. And he is a due diligent researcher who's been to many of the state houses like yourself, validating the deception, the falsity of the so-called history, which is really Ha's story, Ha being an even pagan god.
What was that website about, again?
The RebelMadman.com, I think it is.
Rebel
Michael Gaddy. Incredibly knowledgeable guy. And you were speaking about the tri-ball, the three heads of ball, if you will, earlier.
Yeah.
And then we also, something that occurred to me recently, another one of those words that have revealed inner meanings, when we hear the word responsibility, we might see that it may also be the race Ponzi-ability from Carlo Ponzi.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Well, Chris,
I'm going to ask you if you would. I know that it's late in the evening, but I'm going to ask if you would hang with us for the rest of this broadcast. I really do. I'm going to want your critique when she's finished. We have another caller.
Details for you.
Okay.
The sheriff is the Shire of the Reef, is where that term come from.
Oh, I love your word dissection. I love that.
Well, and then the last thing, John Stadmiller, before you came on, and I don't know if you've heard this or not, but he played a clip by Steve Pychinik of a claim. Now, I embraced it with cautious optimism that we've been under a soft coup d'etat in opposition to Hillary Clinton gang's hard coup d'etat of secret nature they were trying to perpetrate on the American people. And I did send you a link for that, and I think you might want to look at that for the night's over You may even want to play it. And now I'll mute out and let you play your other clips. Thank you very much.
Oh, yes. I think I would like to check that out, too. We have another caller on the line, Pat from Texas. Pat, go ahead.
Hi. I don't know if people know the Randy Weaver story, but the feds tried to get him to infiltrate those skinheads, and he refused, so they came after him. And they had him set up for a court date. They had him set up for a court date on that rifle thing, and then they changed the date, so he missed it. So he knew they were after him. So he went up into the mountains with his dog, his kids, and his wife, his mountain home up there. And they came and they shot through the door, shot his wife, and they killed his son out in the woods. With his dog. They killed his dog first. His son went out to see what's going on, and they had surrounded him up there.
And they shot him in the back.
His son. Yep.
Yep, and shot then, him in the back. Wow.
And then
that woman brings up such an important point. Randy Weaver, his son, the dog, and his wife, Shooter, with the baby in her arms, was Lon Huarucci, one of the shooters down at the La Boy Finicum.
Yep.
Whoa! I didn't know that.
You didn't? Wow.
That's news to me. This is Operation PatCon again.
He was
his
sniper
was a kamikaze pilot.
Hold on a second. Oh. Pat, go ahead. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, Lon Huarucci was a sniper at Waco.
Oh, my Lord.
But,
Lord.
What happened with a skinhead since he had refused, I guess they knew that he was kind of refused to do whatever they wanted to do to him. So when the feds came over his mountain house with a big bladder of gasoline to burn him out, the feds were outside screaming with cameras, and they were they were taking pictures of that, so they just drove on and didn't burn him out. But Bo Greitz went up there and got him out because they had guns, or robot guns, to. And Bo,
I spoke to Bo. I spoke to Bo about that.
Yeah, but he won his case $3 million.
Yeah.
In the court,
$3 million that can't get your wife and your child back, though.
No.
Now, they're murderers. There's no doubt about it. It's de facto or murderers. And I did not know that the same sniper was involved in the La Voy Finicum murder that was involved in those.
It's not unlikely that Lon Huarucci was also at the second Waco with that biker shootout, supposedly. It was precipitated by government provocateurs.
Yes, I know that was, I had friends that covered that more than I could at the moment, and I was told the same thing about that being a whole in FBI amalgamation. That to me is I'm still absorbing the fact that the Finicum murder was still tied into. Folks, I've been talking about one of the reasons I went to Oregon. I'm going to be real honest with you. I have been conducting an investigation on my own, if you want to call it that. I'm nothing special or anything. I'm one guy, but I have been conducting my own investigation throughout these several years of the FBI's Operation PatCon, which Timothy McVeigh was a part of, which Nichols and company was a part of.
Andrew J. McCallum.
Yes. Operation PatCon. That's PatCon. I would like you to start Googling that. Let's get that on Homeland Security's radar and see what they think about us knowing all about their infiltration of the Patriot movement and the Stalinesque controlled opposition tactics that they do when they create these Hegelian dialectic situations, these attacks upon the American people. Oklahoma City bombing was directly the fault at the feet of the FBI. And I know that there's members of the FBI that are good folks because I've met them, I've talked with them, I've known them, okay? I mean, my father was a judge, okay? We've known some people over the years that were high-ups. Now, my dad, he was kind of a thorn in the side of the federal government. And the reason he was is because he was an honest man. And I've told the story on RBN a few times of the wonderful man that they set up, who's Nippy. He owned a cheesesteak shop in our town in New Jersey, Nippy Steaks. And the ATF set him up with a homeless guy that kept coming in and didn't have any money for food. And finally, at like the fifth time that he came in getting free money, he said, "Look, all I have is this little gun. It's all I have. You know, I don't want to keep taking your food." And he gave Nippy the gun. And as soon as he gave Nippy the gun, the ATF swarmed in. They arrested him. My father just about took his foot and stuck it up their, you know what. Well, back then, the judge in the local area still had a little bit more control, I guess, than they have today. And my father saw to it that Nippy was let go. And he basically told the ATF if they ever came back into his jurisdiction again, he would see to it that they would be buried under the prison. And they never did come back into his jurisdiction again, I have to say. God, you know, thank God for that. But this is what we're dealing with. This is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a predatory, rogue, de facto 14th Amendment created agency that is empowered by that same communistic form of government, the democracy that replaced the American Republic to begin with. This is what I need people to understand when they go to those polls to vote. They need to understand what they're including themselves in. I'm all for... go ahead.
This is really important. All the bureaus, agencies, and departments are under the APA 5551 United States Code. And so, therefore, they're outside the scope and sphere of the Constitution because they're under the War Powers Act or the CEO of the corporation, of the chief executive, under his purvey, not under the Constitution. That's why they're all agencies. The U.S. Department of Justice, the FBI, CIA, EPA, the Federal Reserve Service, the BLM,
CIA, ABCD, EFG, HIJ, EIEIO. Yep. All right. We have another caller to get to real quick, Chris. Greg in Arkansas. Greg, thank you, Pat. Thank you, honey. I appreciate your call. Greg in Arkansas.
Gentlemen, I just love your broadcast, and the more I'm on this phone waiting, you keep on touching on subjects that some are close to my heart. But anyway, three fast things.
Yep.
I called in about Steve Pathetic, I call him. Of course, his claim to fame is a psych. He's a shrink. Psychological operations, covert operations, and counterintelligence. And I've heard him say on the famed AJ show several times he thought George Bush was the cat's meow and that Petraeus is a really good guy. So, and he is of the tribe. So on that matter, I would caution everybody to be very careful about, and I did hear that with John Clay, and be careful about Steve Pathetic. That's why I call him that. And then you touched on, I have to look at my list because I have no memory anymore. Oh, Jerry Kirk, I left you his phone number. I hope you got it via email.
I did not. Now, when did you send the email?
Oh, geez, had it been 2-3 weeks ago now?
Did you send it to
something on that?
Hold on a second. Hold on. Did you send it to rtrtruthmedia@gmail.com?
Yes.
Please send it again tonight, and I will check my email tonight.
I will do that, and I called, ironically, because the other night I heard you say that you were somewhere in Florida, and he has children. He's originally from Florida, and he was aiming back there with empty pockets, so you guys may be able to hook up.
I will more than happily help him if I can.
Great, and just a matter of, as somebody mentioned, Weaver. Just happened that Randy Weaver, after all that dust settled, he wound up living right, couldn't have been 4 miles from me. I met him quite a few times. Just 4 miles from me here in Arkansas, so right in near Harrison.
And then is he still there?
Pardon me?
Is he still there?
No, he moved away. He said he was going to move back with one of his daughters. It might have been Idaho or Montana, maybe. I'm not sure. Don't.
Did you keep his contact information?
Well, no, I lost it, but John would have it because John wheeled him around to several different. John showed up here to pick him up to take him someplace, which was some kind of expo or something.
Well, if you could reach out to him through your contacts and see if you can get a hold of him, I'd really would like to have him on the show. It's been too long since his. Well, it's not like we don't talk about the Ruby Ridge incident, but we need to keep these things in the forefront because I am working on this Operation PatCon. Now I came out with it, so I'm not going to stay quiet about it. My suspicion is that the Oregon standoff was infiltrated by, probably instigated by, although I don't say that Ammon Bundy, Ryan Bundy, Cliven Bundy, or anything are involved in the conspiracy. Well, is in fact quite the opposite. I think that they were intentionally provoked, and they were led into certain things by those who were seeking to destroy the Patriot and militia movement in Operation PatCon, an ongoing, I don't believe it ever stopped, an ongoing federal operation to destroy this movement of truth. They try and saddle it with white supremacy and all of that disgusting
identity
all the
words Facebook Mad Cal was dropping.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
Well, there's spooks and kooks everywhere. Yeah. They're in every nook and cranny. Just watch your six. And the last thing you touched on, we must have been raised somewhere around the same area. I was on the opposite side of Philly in Valley Forge, but you mentioned cheesesteaks.
Cheese. Oh, yeah. Anyway, Pat's or Geno's, which is your favorite? Pat's or Geno's?
Pat's.
Geno's! Oh.
All right. Tell you what, if we ever meet, I'll treat you to a Geno's, and you can treat me to a Pat's, okay?
That's a deal, brother. That's a
okay,
deal.
Okay, dude. Thanks for your broadcast. I really appreciate
God
it.
God bless you. Oh, you're welcome.
Take care.
You're welcome. Oh, you know, that hits close to home. Pat's and Geno's. I don't know how many of you out there are from the Philly, Jersey area, but Pat's and Geno's used to be one of those things that my dad used to take myself and my brothers. We used to go to Philadelphia, South Philadelphia, where my father was raised. And you know, we used to eat a steak, and these things are like a foot long, right? And you go up to the window, and it's a cheesesteak wit. That means a cheesesteak with cheddar cheese and fried onions. And oh, well, I miss those days. But anyway, Dad, here's this one. This broadcast's for you, Pop. Now we have a couple minutes left, and I would like to try and get a little bit more through this presentation with Mad Cal. Go ahead and roll it while we have time.
To somebody who turned out to be an undercover ATF agent. He ended up going to jail, getting released on bail, not turning up for his trial when federal marshals turned up at his place to say, hey, you got to turn up for your trial. He ended up in a shootout with those federal marshals. His wife and his teenage son and a marshal were all killed. That was Ruby Ridge.
That is not how it happened.
Randy Hoover was a member of the Aryan
twisted,
Nations.
Lying,
it also bounced around this world of tax protesters and people who consider themselves to be sovereign citizens. Direct inheritance of this idea that you are a nation unto yourself.
Sovereign citizen is a term that was created by the federal government. Anyone who self-identifies as a sovereign citizen is an idiot. I'm sorry, I hate to say it to those inexperienced crash test dummies out there that want to refer to themselves as a sovereign citizen. You are essentially referring to yourself as an oxymoron. What this movement is controlled opposition, just like Stalin said, okay, this is something that was pushed forward to try and hide the fact that state sovereignty and your state citizenship under that sovereign state, you're not sovereign. Under that sovereign state is your actual preferred citizenship, and according to the Expatriation Act that I am looking right here, says hold on a second, expatriation, whereas it is a claim that such American citizens with their descendants are subjects of foreign states owing allegiance to the governments thereof, and whereas it is necessary to the maintenance of public peace that this claim of foreign allegiance, get this, should be promptly and finally disavowed. Not shall be, but should be. There's a reason for that, folks. That is because they do not have the power to force you to do so. That is critical. Go ahead and roll that clip.
yourself. You are sovereign, and no one can tell you what to do except for maybe the sheriff.
That's not
today.
True.
The people who call themselves sovereign citizens are definitely still around. Their numbers are increasing, according to the people who track these things. One of the most visible signs about them is that they tend to make their own.
I'm sorry. According to the people who track these things, such as, and I'm going to give you one of those groups, is the ADL. Of course, in the Southern Poverty Liar Center, which is a subversive organization in and of itself. We'll talk about that another time. I already challenged them to a debate. I got crickets from those people. But the ADL, which was founded and formed by the Society of B'nai B'rith, and you're talking about Meyer Lansky and company. This was a mafia, a Jewish mafia organization that created the ADL, that supports the ADL, that funded the ADL. So the ADL in and of itself, who is using this, along with the likes of Barbara Spector, who is forcing multiculturalism and saying that the rise of anti-Semitism will increase in Europe because Jews are taking a leading role in forcing it. And if Europe doesn't allow the Jews to do this, they won't survive. God forbid. You know, they never survived without the Jews before. So, of course, they have to be involved in their survival. And we see what their survival means. We see the Islamic amalgamation that's going on all over Europe. So thank you for your survival tactics, but no thank you. Go ahead and roll that clip.
The people who track these things, one of the most visible signs about them is that they tend to make their own IDs if they carry them at all. They may not put real license plates on their cars as well, because to them, there is no legitimate state or federal government. And it's silly stuff in a way, but over time, these self-proclaimed sovereign citizens have become pretty violent and therefore pretty scary.
Yeah,
in 1993, a farmer named James Nichols contested a speeding ticket in Michigan by claiming that he was a sovereign citizen and thus could not be prosecuted. His brother tried to pull the same thing by paying a debt on a bank was an institution that he made up did not exist. His brother was Terry Nichols. Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols both consider themselves to be sovereign citizens. They ended up blowing up the Alfred P.
Pause. This is important because here again we have this controlled opposition, Operation PatCon movement, and you see right at the heart of it is the Nichols brothers and Timothy McVeigh. Those were individuals that were working with the federal government. In fact, there was a video of Timothy McVeigh 2 years after he allegedly left the United States Army, and he was at the demolitions yard or training facility at Fort Bragg. Folks, we are being played on a massive scale by controlled opposition. Do not fall for it. Do not fall for the rhetoric. Do not try and link into these people. Lord knows they will try and fool us and trick us on every turn. Thank you for tuning into our broadcast, ResurrectTheRepublic.com. Click on that PayPal, support the network as well, Republic Broadcasting Network, support the network. Thank you for tuning in, and we will catch you tomorrow night with more information on this subject matter. Thank you, and good night.
I'm not interested in photo ops.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org, 800-326-2001.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.